This is Chris Brooks. Thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Be sure and subscribe for free so that you don't miss an episode. For more information, visit our website, equipradio.org. Chris Brooks here, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of Equip. Did you know that we are funded by the generosity of listeners just like you? Can you help us? Partner with the ministry of Equip by calling 888-644-4144 or give at equipradio.org. Well, hey there, friends. Welcome to another exciting edition of Equip with Chris Brooks. I'm so thrilled that you've joined me today. Can you do me a favor? Strap on your seatbelt. We're going to navigate through the contours of culture, as always, with the lens of the biblical worldview on. But before we do that, let me remind you, this is the day that the Lord has made. He has given it as a gift so that you and I can rejoice and be glad in it. So let's do just that. Let's follow the words of the Apostle Paul. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, I hope you're doing well today. I hope you're growing in God's grace, that you are loving Him and experiencing the love of the Father to you and hearing His affirmation. And I pray that you are sharing your faith as well. You know, we are called to not only know Christ, but to make Him known. And that's one of the great passions we have here at Equip. I also want to say thank you to all of our friends and partners who make this program possible each and every day. God's grace expressed through your generosity as fuel to the engine that is Equip. And it helps us to be able to reach our culture relevant and biblical answers to the tough questions they're asking. I'm going to ask you today to consider partnering as well. If you've been listening and been encouraged through the program and you've never partnered with us before, can you consider doing that now? Your gift of any amount allows us to be able to minister God's grace and the goodness of Jesus, that salvation is found in Christ alone, to remind the world that the scriptures are true, that they are the inerrant, infallible, eternal and inspired word of the living God. And if that matters to you, can you stand with us today? I'm going to give you the phone number to call to support the program. It's 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. Go to equipradio.org. Well, have you ever got bored when reading the Bible? It's okay. It's just me and you talking right now, so you don't have to worry about anybody shaming you or feeling embarrassed. It happens to the best of us. Have you ever felt like, man, reading through a particular book of the Bible was more out of duty than desire? Maybe you lost your passion and your excitement around the Word of God. It's not that you question whether or not it's true or not even that you love it, but maybe you've lost your excitement around it. Well, I got a resource for you. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to feature this all month long on the program. It's entitled 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible. Think about that. Yes, the Bible is meant to be read, it's meant to be understood, it's meant to be taught, but it is also meant to be enjoyed, and I want you to enjoy it. Certainly, as I read through Psalm 119, I think about the love that is expressed for the Word of God in such poetic language that it's more than just a duty, it's desire. It is passion, and I want you to have that concerning the Word of God, and so does my guest. So I got a book that I'm making available with the gift of any amount all month long. It's called 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible. I want you to give us a call, your gift of $25 or $50, or maybe you want to become a monthly partner at $1 a day, $30 a month. Call now, 888-644-4144, and I'll send it right over to you. The author of this great book, Jim Coakley, is joining me today. Jim has taught at Moody Bible Institute for over 20 years in both the seminary and the undergrad programs. He frequently leads trips to the Holy Land and as well as a contributor to many Moody programs. He's also a contributor to the Moody Bible Commentary and the Moody Handbook on Messianic Prophecy. So he's a scholar, but he's also a lover of God's Word And that's why I'm so excited to have him on with me today to talk about 14 fresh ways to enjoy the Bible. Hey, how are you, Jim?
Hey, Chris, I'm doing great and so thankful for giving the opportunity to get our listeners to get more in love with the Word of God and to just to give them some reading strategies so that they can do that on their own.
You say this, that the Bible is the most read book in all the world, but sadly is not read well. Unpack that for us.
Yeah, really, in a sense, we all know as believers we're supposed to engage and read the Word. But what I have found over the years is that we don't really equip people on what they should be looking for as they read. Now, we have a whole, you know, kind of cottage industry about how to study the Bible, and that is, you know, to do the standard, what we call hermeneutics or Bible study methods. You know, you do observation, interpretation, application, those kind of things. But I'm really interested in that observation stage. What should we observe? And I find that really some people are not really equipped as to what they should be looking for as they read through God's Word. And I have just found a number of these kind of tips and techniques that just kind of, in a sense, give you a strategy so that when you open up God's Word, you already know where pay dirt is going to be. And that's really been so fun now. The book's been out over a year, and it's just been great to see the reception that it's received. And I'm just really thrilled that I'm helping people to enjoy their Bible much more.
Well, I'm talking today on a very personal level. I was thinking about the fact that, Jim, I've been reading the Bible now for 35 years, seriously. I've been intentionally reading the Bible. I came to Christ as a teenager. The rest of the folks at home can do the math. But I've been reading the Bible now pretty seriously for about 35 years. So I think about the ebbs and flows as it relates to my passion, my excitement, my eagerness to engage God's Word. And one of the misnomers is for those of us who are pastors or who are scholars, it's all a straight trajectory up with no effort at all. But there has to be some intentionality. And I think this is why your book becomes so very personal. Talk about your own journey of reading the Word. How long have you been reading God's Word seriously, intentionally? And what has that journey been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I came to faith as a teenager as well back in 1979, so our listeners can do the math there as well and kind of track that. But I really just fell in love with God's Word right away at that point. I would stay up to the wee hours of the morning just reading everything I can because I felt like I was already behind, you know, the curve in terms of what I needed to know, what God who had saved my life so tremendously. I wanted to know more about this God. And so to read the Bible was just a passionate part of me. And of course, then soon after I went to Bible college and I went to seminary. But just like you just described, there's been plenty of kind of desert times in my Bible reading where, you know, some of the training that we get as people who are preparing for ministry or even just in general Bible study techniques, it can not necessarily be life-giving. Because it's mechanical. You look up these references and you don't really feel too connected to the passage. You get a lot of information, you're getting a lot of data, but they're all kind of little points that are not necessarily connected in any constellations or otherwise. Yes. And so now whenever I open God's Word, I use these techniques myself and man, it just is popping all the time.
And it brings it alive like any other relationship. You know, I will tell you, it seems to me I have two ditches or two pitfalls I need to avoid. Number one, as a pastor, I need to avoid always approaching the Bible, and I'm going to use this term, in an overly formal way, meaning always approaching the Bible looking for a sermon, right? Like, I got to guard against that. There has to be times where, even as a pastor, I say, Chris, this is not just for you to find sermons, right? But then, on the other end, I need to avoid the pitfall of approaching it of an informal way, of just thinking of it casually as if this isn't the living Word of God, and this isn't His moral law being given to me, and obviously the inspired Word of God as well. So I love that. I want to make a case, though, and maybe you can help us to make a case. We live in a generation where not only reading the Bible is needing to be addressed, but reading in general. Like, there's a decline in reading. People listen to stuff, but why should we read in general, Jim?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I know myself, I'm pulled. I love listening to podcasts. I love listening to programs like yourself, because I get informed, I get encouraged, and all those kind of things. And I think some of that is we are so ingrained with the medium now that we get that kind of gives us that instant hit of, you know, information or transformation. And the Bible is more of a slow cook, you know, it's a slow burn. I love that in Isaiah 55. It says, God's word is like snow and it's like rain. Mm-hmm. And we always love the rain because it just quickly penetrates dry ground and nourishes it. But snow is actually better, according to farmers, because it just sits there and sits there, melts slowly, goes deep into the soil, and gives more nutrients over the long haul. And we're so used to these kind of quick hits, whether it be podcasts or little videos that we watch on YouTube, or, you know, these documentaries. And I'm a consumer of those as well. But to just sit and read is a challenge. And as a teacher here at Moody Bible Institute, I'm finding that students coming in now are not readers. They're used to, you know, again, other formats of getting information, shorter bites, but they're not necessarily reading. And so this is a big challenge when we encourage our college students to read a textbook, you know, because people are not used to reading books and yet required to do so. And so this is then where I think we have to not only encourage people to study the Bible, but how to read it and get there to do it even in the first place, to just even open it up and read it for themselves.
Yeah, I would tell you that there's a couple of benefits that I can think of. Number one, I love this slowing down and being able to just engage God and allowing God's word to engage my heart. But I also will say this, friends, that if all you're doing is listening to preachers or even shows like this, you are more susceptible to being deceived and misled. The fact is reading the Bible for yourself helps to protect your own heart and soul against counterfeits, and it allows you to be able to know God's word for yourself. So that's one of the big passions that I have, and one of the great passions that Jim has as well. Jim, we got about a minute before we go to break. What's your hope for those who pick up 14 Fresh Ways?
Boy, that's a great question. And really, it's the idea that every time they open God's word, they see something that can lead to a productive observation. Because sometimes just, you know, forcing ourselves to look for things without having a kind of a game plan as to what's been productive to people who have read the Bible for, you know, ages is something that really helps me, because I want to have something simple that I can grasp and put into practice right away. And I can guarantee you the techniques that I talk about in the book will do that, because it gives you a kind of a handle on things to kind of be already looking for that instantly gets you to those quick hits.
Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to get you to those quick hits. We're going to accelerate your Bible passion. We're going to spur it on, and we're going to give you some tips and techniques that I think is really going to take your engagement to a whole nother level. Let's take a break. And during these breaks, we're going to strategically place these breaks throughout the program, really to give you opportunity to get your copy of 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible. And let me just say, it's great for you. It's also really great for your life group, your small group Bible study at your church. It's an awesome resource for you to get the young adults in your life as well, or that new believer who is starting out their journey to understanding and studying and reading God's word. So either for you or for someone you love, here's the number, 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. So what are the examples, and how do they relate to the way that movies are made in our day? Jim's going to talk about that on the next side of this break. If you want to read the Bible for all it's worth, it's helpful to have an experienced guide with you. Bible teacher Dr. Jim Coakley has written a book that will bring your scripture study to life. It's called 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible, and I highly recommend it. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. All right, all month long, I'm going to help you to revive a love for reading God's Word. You need to know it, but you also need to love it. I want you to enjoy your reading of God's Word. It is possible to enjoy reading God's Word. So that's why I want you to get this book, 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible by James Coakley. It's an opportunity as well for you to support the program. If this has been a helpful resource in your spiritual growth and journey, can you stand with us today, maybe with a gift of $25, maybe with a gift of $50, maybe a gift of $100? If you've never given before, I don't want you to see this as, oh, I just need to pay the retail value for the book and I'm just buying the book. It's not a transactional deal. It really is about us partnering together around this broader mission of being able to equip Christians to more effectively live, share, and defend their faith. And if that's important for you and to your heart, for your community, I want you to call today. Can you do that? 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. Go to equipradio.org. Jim, how'd you get to 14 fresh ways? Why not 28 or 36?
That's a great question. I mean, because you can go with dozen, you can go with 10.
Yeah.
Those are all key scriptural numbers.
Well, Gary
as well.
Chapman already stole five.
Yeah, he already stole five.
He has five or everything.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's certainly more than 14, but, you know, it makes it to where it captures a moment in something that's easily graspable. Each chapter is not that long. The book is just over 200 pages, so it's not a long read by any stretch, and you can kind of take it one chapter at a time. You can even skip around and choose a chapter that really kind of hits maybe a chord in your thinking about what might be of interest to you. But I've already been interested in coming up with even more techniques. So I don't know if there's another book in the making, but at least the 14 are the top ones that I have seen over the years.
A sequel is on the way. You know, when I think about these techniques, and we're going to dive into them in just a moment, I think about the book. It was published in 1940 originally, How to Read a Book by Mortimer Adler.
Yep.
I love that book. And in many ways, he just teaches you, this is how you read a book. Which I think every person, every generation needs to be taught. Is a lot of what you're doing just inviting people behind the curtain, if you will, to the way that guys like you who are scholars read the Bible?
Yeah, I mean, and that's what we don't want to ever discourage our listeners and talk down to them and say, you need to read. Here's how you read. Everyone knows how to read, but it's really not just getting the book open and starting to scan the words on the page. It's really what should you be on the lookout for as you go through. And this is where, you know, modern film, good literature uses a lot of these techniques on an everyday basis that you may not even be aware that the filmmaker or the author is using. And this is then, I think, a handle to get people in if they understand that the same techniques that good film and literature use, it's also found in the Bible. That can be perhaps a really strong hook to get people to say, oh, if that's what I love about this movie that I really, really enjoy, the same techniques are found by biblical authors, wow, maybe I should spend more time reading than I maybe had in the past.
Phone number 888-644-4144. Let's talk about some of the techniques. What was your favorite chapter to write, and what technique out of all of them? I know each one of them is like your own child.
Yes.
Out of all of them, which one do you love the most?
I think the one that really, I mean, there's some that really got me started on this journey, like First Impressions, but the one that I probably really enjoy the most is what we call Beautiful Bookends. It's just looking for beginning and ending of either sections of Scripture or whole books and seeing how the biblical authors kind of start and finish with similar terms and terminology and phrases. I just was speaking at our church, and we've been going through the book of Jude, and so I handled the last two verses, the benediction, the doxology. And there's the beautiful bookend in that book because it starts out saying that we are called, loved, and kept. And then you finish up with the end of the epistle there, and it says, may he keep you from stumbling. And so keep is there at the beginning and ending of the book, and you get a theme by which you now can look internally and see even more development of that theme. So the evildoers are kept for judgment. So we as believers are kept for, again, keeping from stumbling and kept in God's love, but the Lord is going to keep the evildoers for judgment. And so as you talked about earlier, it's so easy if we're not reading the Bible, we can be easily led astray by false teaching, and we certainly don't want that.
I love that. And I love the cool names that you gave to each chapter, right? Because each one of these techniques could be talked about in boring or overly academic ways. But I love that you have given us these memorable ways to really connect and engage the scriptures with fresh eyes. Let's talk about first impressions. You could have easily started there. What is that?
First impressions is a simple technique to keep readers active. And that is, whenever you see a Bible character on the pages of God's Word, you look for three things. And these three things help what we call indirect characterization. And what are they? Basically, any physical description. And a lot of Bible characters don't have that. So that's not as helpful as the other two that I'm going to talk about. The other two things you look for are, what are the first things you see that character doing? You know, again, normally there's action verbs associated with that character right from the start. And then what do we first see the character saying? So look for a quotation mark and isolate the first words that come out of that character's mouth in the text. And I am just overwhelmed by every time I look for those things, I find something that helps me to understand that character in a deeper way. And also is reflected all the way through the rest of the time that that character is talked about. Whether that's Moses or David or Abraham or Esau, it happens with all of these characters. Daniel, you can give example after example by just isolating those things, help you to understand what makes that character tick, both their good traits and oftentimes their bad traits. What is their Achilles heel, as it were, that they stumble over and over again as we read about their lives?
Man, that's pretty awesome. I think that that is a really, really intriguing way to read the Bible. And I know that you've written this for everybody, but I want to just take a moment to talk to some pastors, because I think that what you just gave is also a huge tip for those who are teaching the Word as well. How much did you have Bible teachers in mind when you were writing these chapters?
Well, I mean, the book is really written to me, first of all, because I wanted as a teacher to be able to, you know, understand God's Word so that I can communicate it accurately and get as close as I can to the heartbeat of what the biblical author was trying to, in a sense, teach. And so these, as a teacher myself, I'm always looking for inside track as to how to shortcut the process. And then just realizing that this is just like you said with Adler's book about how to read, the idea is if we just follow some of these breadcrumbs that are dropped by these great authors. And again, the Bible is the most important book in all the world, and it's written well. It's not just a data dump of people, places, and events. It uses the same creativity that was put into the world with all of the beauty, structure, and design. We see that in over and over again by the biblical authors as they also incorporate beauty, structure, and design. And so we see it whether it's in the world that the God has created or the word that he's given to us and by revelation. We see this beauty, structure, design that really, if we can just then see those things, they're like diamonds in the rough. You see them as like, wow, that is really, really beautiful. But also, it's not just aesthetics. It really helps to get to the themes of what these biblical authors are tracing. And that's what you said for, you know, pastors, for teachers. These techniques will just put their Bible study into a whole new gear, because now they'll be equipped to have their observation skills really, really put on high octane.
I just thought of another group now for folks to give this book to. Maybe you support Equip and you get Jim Coakley's book and you give it to your pastor. What a great gift this could be for your pastor. And Jim, I want to apply this first impressions rule. And I just thought about it. Obviously, I've been teaching the Bible for a while, and I've done this with a lot of characters in Scripture. But, you know, I just realized that I don't think I've ever done that first impressions with God.
Yes. Yeah.
And when you think about Genesis 1, God is first introduced to us in Genesis 1, as creator, in the beginning creator, and the first words that we see recorded that God spoke is in Genesis 1 and 3, let there be light.
Yeah, I tell you, that's exactly what got me excited too, is that the first two chapters give a great first impression of God. And so isolating what we see God doing. And here's, I did a study. So again, here's the geeky part. I did a study of all of the verbs associated with the Hebrew word Elohim, which is just the word for God in Genesis 1. And I track what are the top 10 verbs that Elohim, that God does in all of the Old Testament. And wouldn't you know, the top five that are used in all of the Bible from Genesis to Malachi are found in Genesis 1. So right away, we're introduced to what we see God doing. And right away, God's word in Genesis 1 starts us on that trajectory of who God is.
Man, there's so much I want to talk about with this. And friends, I'm so glad Jim is going to stick with us past this break. I'm pretty fired up. I want you to be fired up and excited as well. Get the book for yourself. Get the book for someone you love. It will take your Bible reading to a whole new level. 14 fresh ways to enjoy the Bible. Go to our website, equipradio.org. You'll see featured there, but also you can dial this number now, 888-644-4144. Call now. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Have you gotten your copy yet? Have you got a copy for your pastor? What about for the young adult in your life? Well, anybody you know that wants to read the Bible is going to run into seasons where they may have desert seasons. They may have seasons of lull and lose the excitement, the enthusiasm. Well, Jim Coakley, professor at Moody Bible Institute, knows what that's like, and he wants to help to revive our passion, excitement, and joy for reading God's Word. So that's why he's written the book, 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible. James Coakley has written this wonderful book for you, for me, for pastors, for young adults, for our life groups, for our small groups. If you wouldn't mind, call this number now. Your gift of any amount, we're making it available. I wish I could hand deliver it to you, but I can't do that. But if you call, we can send it over to you right away, ASAP. You dial the number 888-644-4144. That's 888-644-4144. And again, feel free to go over and above in your giving. This is a great time to fuel the mission of Equip. Your gift of any amount, $25 or $50 or $100 or more, it helps to fuel the ministry. But you also help to make these resources available broad and wide. If God has blessed you, and he's been generous and kind and provided for you in special ways, I ask that you would do that. And know that an investment into the spread of the gospel is the greatest investment that any of us could ever make. It has an eternal ROI, return on investment. Again, the number 888-644-4144. Now, for those of you who are just joining, Jim is walking us through some of these techniques. Reading the Bible. We talked about beautiful bookends. I love that. You mentioned diamonds earlier, and one of the chapters actually is about poetic diamonds. What is that?
We think about the poetic or lyrical sections of God's Word, like the Book of Psalms or Song of Songs, and we think of other books as more narrative in focus. But one of the things that I was really blown away by is that sometimes in narrative, the author will break forth into a little lyrical kind of subset. And yes. So you have these poems, these insets of very lyrically enhanced content. And right away, even in God's Word, we see in the first four chapters of Genesis where you have narrative and then you have a little poetic inset and then an epilogue. And so this happens both on the small and on the big scale. But those poetic diamonds, what they do, most of us, and I'm just speaking mostly to the men now in our audience, we tend to skip over poetry because we don't really think of it as something that's valuable. We think of it as kind of emotional or mushy. But I tell you, by paying attention to when the biblical authors inject poetry into the text, helps you to understand the theme of the surrounding. And so right away, Genesis 1, a little poetic diamond is, we are made in God's image, male and female, he created them. And so that's in a very lyrical. Most of our even printed Bibles have it in italics or indented to kind of clue the listener, the reader, that we have a poetic diamond. And then you realize one of the big peaks of Genesis 1 is man is made in God's image. And so that helps us understand what Genesis 1 is all about. Genesis 2, we sing about marriage, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. All of a sudden, we realize that the marriage relationship is the pinnacle of all human relationships, and Adam is singing about it, and that's worthy of singing. And so this happens in the Gospel of Luke. It happens in Genesis. It happens in other books of the Bible. So pay attention to when the biblical author switches gears from just telling the story in more narrative tone to poetry, and then ask the question, how is this, in a sense, exposing and surfacing a theme that the biblical author really wants to foreground? Because poetry is heightened speech. You don't normally, you take a little more effort to communicate in that mode. And so that really is something that we could pay attention to and, again, freshen up our Bible reading.
Well, you know, and I think about all the creatives that are out there, and they think about maybe Bible reading is just, again, merely academic. Man, the Bible is a singing book. There are like songs and poetry all throughout. And I love the fact that the people of God throughout ages have processed not only their relationship with God creatively, in many instances, but some of the major things that were happening in their life. I think about Psalm 51 and David processing through his sin and his failure with Bathsheba. He's fallen into sexual sin. He's blown it. He says, my sins are ever before me, you know, and he's crying out, have mercy on me, oh God. And here it is, the prelude to verse number one, is this is a song that was given to the choir master by David after being confronted by Nathan over his sin. I think about Mary's Magnificat, you know, and man, what rich theology. We got to know these poems, these songs have good theology. I mean, just listen to this. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, for now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Man, that tells me tons about God, his character, just the fact that he looks upon the humble, that he looked upon her humble estate, tells me about his heart and seeing people, that he's holy. Man, there's like 15 different sermons in there, friend.
It sure
and again,
is.
I got to guard my heart. I can't get a sermon out of everything. My kids say that I can, though. But it does energize my Bible reading.
Oh, it sure does. And that's why you even see how Mary's Magnificat, it channels Hannah's song in the beginning chapters of 1 Samuel. And again, how steeped those women were in God's word. And they crafted into this very poetic, lyrical, song-like composition. And they capture the mood of both the Gospel of Luke and the book of 1 Samuel. And so it's another kind of technique I talk about is the idea of launching pad. Pay attention to those early content chapters because they set the theme. And oftentimes they kind of work in tandem. So you have a poetic diamond that's also at the very beginning of a book. And boy, that's like a double hit where it's like clearly pay attention to these poetic diamonds and mine them for all that they're worth.
And I love that you're connecting dots, that you're connecting the dots throughout the Bible, because the Bible is an interconnected story, all one story about one Savior and God's redemptive plan. We want you to know God's word, love God's word, live God's word, share God's word. And so that's why Jim Coakley has joined me today. And that's why all month long we are on this mission to revive a passion for the word of God in your hearts. I want you to get a copy of Jim's book, 14 Fresh Ways to Enjoy the Bible. Go to our website, equipradio.org. Or dial this number, 888-644-4144. I'm going to give it again, 888-644-4144. All right, I want to go into another one, clock management. What is clock management?
Yeah, the technique is pretty easily understood by those who especially watch sports, because you watch the end of a basketball game or a football game, and they use timeouts in a very strategic way to kind of slow the tempo down to where they can, you know, in a sense, drop a play that's going to work and get them more points and things like that. Well, biblical authors do the same thing. They can control the tempo of the accounts that they're talking about. Sometimes they slow things down. Sometimes they speed things up. And so when you look at, like, the life of Abraham, you see he lives 175 years. But really, when you get down to it, there's only about 25 years of his life that we read about, from age 75 to about 100. And the first 75 years and the last 75 years are not well described. So really, it helps us understand that the author, Moses, has clock managed the story of Abraham to focus on certain events in his life to encourage us to be like him in terms of our faith. Even though he stumbled, we can, again, have great, in a sense, times when we trust God completely, even in light of the fact that it doesn't make sense, like nearly offering his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. And we see how he passes the faith test, but we see also where he struggles. But we can see those clock management episodes and where things are slowed down or sped up. And just pay attention to the pacing of how the biblical author structures the content.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, part of what we naturally need to know is that, as you said earlier, the Bible is giving us sufficiently all that we need to know about God and living a life of faith and obedience to him. But it's not giving us exhaustively every detail of their lives, of the biblical figures' lives. And so clock management has to be a part of it. And I love that literary technique. Can I ask you, what's your favorite?
What, my favorite of clock management or all of the techniques?
All of them.
All of them. Wow. And that was where, honestly, when I finished writing all 14 chapters, I'm thinking, okay, this is, people might think, oh, I'm cherry picking examples kind of here and there. So let me go through a book of the Bible where I show all 14 techniques at play. And the book of Daniel came to mind, and I started looking for it. And wouldn't you know, all 14 are in the book of Daniel.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm gonna be kind of equivocating here and say that's not
there
one, but
there
they all play together. And now the book of Daniel pops because
it
you see the first impressions, you see the poetic diamonds, and they all now really help me as a reader to really enjoy Daniel even more than I already did.
You know, I thought you were going to say Revelation because there's so many styles of genre in Revelation. And so it seems to me that's another book that's similar to Daniel in that you could probably find just about all of these, if not all 14, in that book. And what I love about this is that there's certain books that have either been hard to read. Let's be honest, reading through Leviticus as a new believer may be a little bit difficult for some.
Right.
And yet this helps it to come alive. But I also love the fact that there are certain books that have felt complicated or intimidating that some folks have avoided because it's like, man, I just feel like that might be beyond my quote unquote pay grade. What you do is help to make it all approachable and accessible through the simple to use techniques. And I will tell you, if you've ever been in a church service or Sunday school class or a Bible study, and you're listening to someone teach it, teach the Word of God, and you said to yourself, man, they got a lot more in their Bibles than I do in mine. Let me tell you the truth. It's not that they have a lot more in their Bibles than you do in yours. It's often because they've learned one or more of these techniques, and it helps them to be able to pull out nuggets of truth and insight that others might miss. But we want to equip you that way. And in a lot of ways, that's what Jim's book does. We're going to take our final break of the day, 14 fresh ways to enjoy the Bible. Jim Coakley is the author. Man, it's kind of like pulling up to a coffee table, having this Bible scholar across from you, and you get a chance to talk about how he reads the Bible, and you get a chance to apply that to your own Bible reading. How cool is that? So pull up a chair, grab a cup of coffee, and get your copy of 14 Fresh Ways to enjoy the Bible. Go to our website, equipradio.org. That's equipradio.org. Or again, call the number now. Many people are calling. I want you to join this mission of ours this month to increase our enjoyment of God's Word and to do that for others, to pass that passion along. The phone number, 888-644-4144. Welcome back to Equip with Chris Brooks. Jim, is it true that Christianity Today gave 14 fresh ways to enjoy the Bible a Book of the Year award?
Yes, I was floored. I was so humbled by that recognition. But I think it really speaks to what we've been talking about on this program is people really want to get more out of their Bible. And so to have the team there that was, again, deciding which books they wanted to honor with that award. And so for the category of Bible devotional, they honored my book with that Book of the Year for 2024. And it's just, I don't want to write anymore because how could I ever top getting the Book of the Year award with my first solo book?
That is so good. That's so good. Let's talk about Zone of Turbulence. And then I want to ask what I hope will be the most important question of the day. But let's talk about Zone of Turbulence so that folks can be ready for it when they encounter it.
Yeah, this is something, as I was going through all the techniques, there are some passages of God's Word that just kind of throw in the proverbial kitchen sink of all of these techniques.
Yeah.
And so really, they already, in a sense, readers are gravitating to those passages anyways because they're just so endearing. But now, there's evidence to show why they're such endearing is because of the fact that they use all these literary techniques to enhance the telling of the story. So I think of like Genesis 22, the account of Abraham nearly sacrificing his son Isaac, or David and Goliath's story. These techniques, the 14 techniques, are used throughout these texts. And it then shows why we are, zeroed in on those texts and love them so much more than the surrounding chapters around them. So like, why don't we get focused on Genesis 23? Well, it's about Abraham buying a cave for his dead wife, Sarah. Well, nobody really gravitates to that one, but they do to the chapter before because it uses step up to the mic or direct speech. It uses a key setting, location, location, location. It uses time management, three-day journey. And so technique after technique are utilized in that passage that really stands out, kind of makes it a peak. And so why I call it Zone of Turbulence, this comes from a kind of a more technical terms in terms of grammar because communicators can use grammar to kind of create, but I'm talking about the literary tools that a author can just now put into play. And some of these texts really, really use a number of them. And that's what really makes them like a mountain peak on the horizon, really stand out as we read God's Word.
Jim, you've been a lover of God's Word since 1979. For me, 35 years of reading and following Jesus. Why should a person who's listening to us, who's not a follower of Jesus, surrender their lives to him?
That's because, first of all, they need to recognize that they're not going to make it on their own. They understand that they are a sinner. They understand that they are not good enough in even the world standards, let alone God's standards. And to recognize, I know this was what did it for me, is to recognize that it's not by me just being good enough, you know, that I was a Boy Scout growing up, be prepared and do good and help little old ladies across the street kind of mentality. And to think that really a lot of people just have that mentality about what it is to be a believer, just do good. But if all it was being good, Boy Scouts, as it were, the idea then that Jesus would not have to come to die on the cross. And so all of a sudden, it really dawned on me in 1978, around Christmas time, that I was a sinner and that Jesus came because I was a sinner, but he gave his life that if I just put my faith and trust in his work, that I have the hope of eternal salvation. And it's not because of anything that I do. It's because of it's a gift. And so all I have to do is receive that gift. And boy, ever since 1979, January, when I put my faith and trust in Christ, the journey has been a wonderful one. Now, it's had its up and downs, like you say, with Bible reading. There's been some plateaus and desert times.
Sure.
But now I'm back up on the ascent because I'm even practicing what I put into play in these books.
Well, thanks for reminding us that salvation is a gift. And I want you to receive that gift. If you've never experienced a relationship with Jesus, I want you to do that today. Here's a phone number for you to call, 888-NEED-HIM, 888-NEED-HIM. You know, every day you hear me sharing with you about a guest or a resource that I want to introduce you to, but there's one that I want to introduce you to more than anyone else, and his name is Jesus. He's the only one who has died and rose again for our salvation. He offers us forgiveness, grace, and love, and he invites us to be able to experience an eternal relationship with God. So I want you to call the number, 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Jim, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for this book. What a gift it is to the body of Christ. And man, you talk about a book that's for all levels of believers, no matter where you find yourself on a journey, new to the faith or someone who is teaching others the Word of God. Everyone can benefit from 14 fresh ways to enjoy the Bible. I appreciate you, brother.
Well, thank you, Chris. And again, give it out. I'm hearing small groups utilizing it, like you mentioned. Give it to your pastor. The little nuggets there will just get his juices flowing. And also, too, for families. If you want to study God's Word and have handles about what you're seeing as you read through as a family, this is a great tool to use. So I highly recommend it.
I got a high school senior getting ready to leave out, and I think, man, I got like 100 more lessons I want to teach her about life. And man, what a gift to put into her backpack as she gets ready to start the next season of her life. Whoever you're getting it for, yourself or someone else, call the number now, 888-644-4144, or go to equipradio.org. Well, until we're together again next time, as always, remember, Equip with Chris Brooks is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.